Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
One, two.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Welcome to all those who are new. Welcome to those online. Hallelujah. Let's stand as our praise and worship together this morning. We praise the Lord. Father, we welcome you in this place. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you take over this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. God, you are a miracle working God. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord, we praise your name.
thank you, Lord. You are working miracles in our lives. We praise your name. Thank you, God. We receive it all, Lord.
The miracle working.
Jesus never fails. Jesus
Hallelujah, praise you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, faithful God, we worship you. Hallelujah, we praise your name.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What you start, you will finish. You'll not just take us halfway. You complete everything you start. We magnify you, Father. We magnify you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's finished. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Start it from the beginning again. Just worship the Lord. Worship the miracle working God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you.
You are who you are yesterday, today and forevermore. What you say is what you do. Point. yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
You're too loving.
You're too loving to leave me. You're too loving to leave me halfway. What you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too loving to leave me.
You're too loving. Sing it one more time.
You're too loving to leave me.
To love me, to love me.
You're too loving to leave me halfway.
What you started,
what you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too loving to leave me.
The Lord is too committed to leave us. His promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever it is that you're going through today, know this, the Lord is with you. Somebody say, the Lord is with me. I am not alone. I am not forsaken. I am the blessed and the highly favored of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah again. One more time like you really mean it. Hallelujah! Amen. Praise the Lord. Worship team, that was wonderful. Thank you so very much. Bless you. You may be seated. I know they're gone, but play the song. Da 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 da. You know it? There you go. Doesn't matter. So awesome. You are awesome to me. One more time. Hallelujah. From the beginning, let's all be a choir right now. I want to hear your voices. The worship team singers are not on the stage, but it's your turn to sing this song. And as you are singing it, I want all the little ones, the children, to come and just sit right in front here. The older ones that cannot sit down, you can sit on the seats, but I want all the little ones, just come sit right here. Can we have the lyrics up in front?
So lovely, you are so caring, you are so awesome to me. Oh, you are so lovely, you are so caring, you are so awesome.
You guys are sitting too? You are lovely,
Jesus, you're so caring, Spirit, you're awesome to me.
Oh, hallelujah.
So lovely, you are so caring, you are so awesome to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Glory to God.
You are awesome to me.
Hallelujah.
Alleluia.
I don't hear you singing, children.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. You are awesome.
You
are awesome to me. You are awesome to me.
Hallelujah. You are awesome to me. Oh, you are awesome to me. Oh, hallelujah. You are awesome to me. You are awesome to me. Glory, hallelujah. You are awesome to me. Oh, awesome to me. Thank you. Jesus is Lord. Bless you all. Do you all love the Lord? Let me hear it loud.
Yes.
Awesome. I love the Lord too. Do you guys love the Lord? Amen. You know, the Lord asked me last week, he said to me, I want you to call the little ones to come and sit right here. God has a plan and a purpose for your lives. Don't think about yourself as small. The God that is in you is very big. Say with me, I have a big, big God living inside of me. One more time. I have a big, big God living inside of me. Amen. You're children of destiny. You know, some of you are doctors, some of you are engineers, some of you are lawyers, some of you are preachers. But everyone here has one assignment. Every one of you, you have one assignment. No matter what you become tomorrow, you are called by God to be His minister. Did you hear what I said? You are called by God to be His minister. That means you are called by God to change your generation. Amen? You're called to be light. You know, you're going through a lot in your schools, through the systems of the world. They want you to be something different. They don't want you to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. But today, God's hand is going to rest on you.
Amen.
And nobody can change you to become something other than what God says you are. Amen?
Amen?
I want every one of you to repeat after me, and at the end, if that's what you would like to say to the Lord, I want you to say amen. And that includes those that are seated out there. Say after me, my God,
my Father,
my lover,
my
keeper,
my
shepherd, my healer, my redeemer,
my
deliverer, my present help at all times. I give my life to you. Possess me with your spirit. Fill me with your power. Make me your servant and your son. Use my life to change the world. I belong to you.
I reject Satan and all his ways. I surrender my life to you, my mighty God. Have your way in my life. I surrender my life to you, Lord. Make me a force that destroys the works of darkness. In Jesus' name, fill me, Lord, with your life. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say with me, I am great. Because God is great in me. I'm a world changer. Because Jesus lives in me. Hallelujah. Bless you. Amen. Enjoy the goodness of God. Have a great class. Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. Well, bless you. God is good. Amen. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service, for all that you I bow to release into the lives of your sons and your daughters. We thank you, Lord, for every nanosecond. For Lord, you are here with us. And because you are here, nothing of the devil, nothing of the adversary can stay. So we reject, denounce, and kick out everything that is not of you, and we embrace all that you are. Lord, let there be a transformation in our lives. So, Lord, we can live in the supernatural realm of your mighty power. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Mama is not here with us this morning, but she sends her greetings and her love. This morning, I'm going to continue the introduction of the message the Lord has placed on my heart for us. The last 3 weeks I've been on the introduction. But God willing, next Sunday, I will land what it is that He's heading towards. There has been one thing that I've been stating in this introduction, in the midst of everything else that I've been saying. And it sounds morbid, but it is a spiritual truth that we must embrace if we're going to experience the change that God has for us. It is a simple truth that when change for change to take place, something must die. We cannot escape that truth. It is all over the scriptures. And when we talk about something dying, we're talking about mindsets dying, ideologies, philosophies, different things that have kept you in a particular setting. It must die because you must not feed it. It has to be separated from you. For you and I to experience eternal life, our Lord Jesus Christ had to die. You know what? If heaven was only based on forgiveness, then the all-knowing and all-powerful God needed just to say, "I forgive you." He didn't have to go to the cross. All he had to do is, "I forgive you." In fact, that is the basis of why Jesus at the garden, why he was sweating blood, was asking one simple question: can we do it another way? But not my will, but your will. Every one of us here could have received our salvation by just simply saying, "I repent. God, forgive me." And God will say, "I forgive you." But for forgiveness to take place, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Somebody needed to die. Something needed to die. And as we explore the life of the Hebrews, we started out by talking about how God called Abraham to the place of sacrifice and how he split the animal in two. And darkness was all over the place, and God, like a lamp, walked in the midst of it while Abraham was sleeping. God revealed to him about his sons that were going to be in captivity and how they were going to be there for a while until the fullness of the time of the sins of the Canaanites, and how God was going to bring them back to the land of promise. The Bible tells us about Joseph and how Joseph the dreamer went to serve his brothers as they were out there in the boonies. Strangely enough, the motive of this story that is shared with us is how he was dropped into a well, into a pit, and how he was pulled out of that pit, representing his death and his resurrection. But one of the things that happened was that the garment that the Father gave to him of many colors, they ripped it and they put blood on it. And they went to the father and said to the father, "Your son is dead. But that son that was dead was going to show up in Egypt. He was going to go through the whole process in Egypt. Until he died. And the Bible says, a king that did not know Joseph rose up, and that king began to persecute the people of Israel, or the Hebrews. Are we together so far? Now that king also died. And the Bible tells us about that. About how that king died and what happened. God began to hear the cries of the Israelites. And committed, and the Bible says he remembered his covenant. What he said. That king was dead. Then we went a little bit further. And we read from Exodus chapter 4 and verse 19. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 19. Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. A death had taken place, and God says, it's time to make another change. So we move on. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 30 through 31, the Bible says, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. This was the death of the firstborn. Are you with me so far? At that time of that death, it was time to start heading out of Egypt. Are we together so far? You might say, well, Pastor, all of those are in the Old Testament. Why don't we try something else? Let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 20. I think I have the wrong verse. Matthew 2 and 20. In Matthew 2:20, the Lord Jesus Christ is in Egypt. And an angel of the Lord came. Remember, he was sent out. And the angels, the Bible says, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are what? Dead. We sought the young child's life. What is the idea? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ makes a statement, a remarkable statement in the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 24. The statement he makes there is striking. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." When God wants to bring about fruitfulness in your life, something dies. Because you cannot, in the place God is taking you to, continue to be your old self. So the word of God says, mortify, kill the deeds of the flesh. Something's got to die if you want to experience change. You cannot be the same. If we want to be a church that ministers to 20,000, 50,000, 70,000 people at a shot, certain things, no matter how good they were, got to die. You cannot keep on doing things for 1,000 people like you were doing when you were 20. Do we get the point? You've got to change. Change is a good thing. Amen? Change is a good thing. If you're single and you get married, your single lifestyle has to die. Because you cannot be married and still be acting like you are single. Anybody here? Are we hearing? Something got to die. The question that you and I need to ask ourselves today is this: what got to die so I can be what God says I should be? Do you remember that God said, stepping into the promised land in Jericho, he says, kill everything. How many of you remember that? It's all got to go so that you can experience the new life. God was the one who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. God was the one who said, Moses, you go out there and you're going to be Messiah, Savior, Deliverer for my people. We know that, right? So exactly what is happening in Exodus chapter 4, starting to read from verse 24, what is going on here? Exodus 4, 24. Moses is heading back to Egypt. And the Bible says, and it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him, that is Moses, and sought to do what? To kill him. This is the guy you are sending to go to Egypt. Huh? Go to Egypt, go set my people free. And God is busy trying to kill him. Oh, what sense does that make? Because something's got to die. God went after him to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. And verse 26 says, so he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the what? Circumcision. Moses wanted to go back without having his son circumcised. Are you with me? The response of every one of us to the death process is reminding ourselves of the covenant of God. Let me say that again. The circumcision was a reminder of the covenant. And when you're going through a death process, remind yourself of the covenant of God. The God who's not going to take you halfway. Yes, you have challenges. That is true. But remember that you are a child of covenant. The covenant is the word of God, and it is his bond. God saying to you, I will do such and such. And when such and such is not happening, you say, God, whatever needs to die in my life, let it die now. But I declare by the word of your covenant that this is what you said. And Lord, you are a promise keeper. And if there's a covenant that I do not remember, Lord, remember it for me. Remember it for me. Because you are a God who will never fail me nor forsake me. You're a promise keeping God. I pray that you are hearing what I'm saying to you. You're not going to go read this in some book somewhere, but I'm talking to you about right now. The only book you're going to find it in by revelation is the Word of God. When Lazarus died, and the Lord Jesus Christ came back and raised him from the dead, the Bible says because of that, they started. That was the beginning of the start of how they were going to get Jesus. And the high priest of the time said, it is needful for one to die, for the nation to be saved. He was a crooked, no good high priest. But God prophesied through him, because that is what's got to happen. So I want you to say with me, Lord, whatever needs to die in my life, around me, so that I can fulfill my destiny, let it die now. No more delay. Kill it. That ideology, that philosophy, that thought that was planted in your mind that gave you the idea that you were supposed to be poor all of your life, it got to die. The idea that you're supposed to be sick because you're just human, it got to die. Anything that does not line itself with the will and the word of God, must die. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's got to die. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God had to kill something so that their nakedness be covered. Are you with me so far? As the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, so that they can start the journey to the promised land, after all the deaths in Egypt, final one, God had to wipe out the army of Pharaoh and bury them there. Whatever needs to die must be buried. So we declare in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, let everything that does not belong in my life be buried. Because whatever it is that is not buried will stink. Whatever you do not bury, you can go back to. But when you have buried it, hallelujah, it's got to stay there. In Jesus' mighty name. You know what the world wants us to do? The world wants us to kill that which is good and embrace that which is evil. But that's exactly what we shall not do as God's sons and daughters. Amen? We will mortify the deeds of the flesh and cleave to the Spirit of the living God, the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me go a little bit further. There are certain things that are pertinent as you are moving from one place to the other. Number one thing, you don't tell your enemy what you're doing, what God said. That is such an important truth, I don't know how to tell it any other way. Yet there are times when you have to prophesy. When you know it is done, you prophesy. One of the reasons God gives you the language of tongues is to hide things from the enemy. Hello? So, you have an issue, you take that issue and you begin to speak in tongues about it. Now, while you are speaking in tongues, God is downloading wisdom, knowledge, and understanding inside of you. And you're going to begin to act out what you're supposed to do without knowing that you are answering the prayer that you prayed in tongues. Are you with me so far? Do you love the Lord and His ways? That's why you need to use your prayer language. It's not everything you pray in English or in your native language, Polish, Ukrainian, German, whatever. Some things, you forget your language and what you know, and you speak your gibberish, so to speak. Roba shandere bokataha. Hey, cross and break a table, kutama, rakatabosh in the repoka, ikanderemo shikita labo de baka, anderebo seke te broseke, inderebo shandarabasuka, ratandobo katalamashai. In the name of Jesus, I declare I receive it now. Amen. Pastor, what did you just pray? None of your business. I know what I prayed. Now the devil is in confusion because he has no clue. Now when you read the word of God, as God tries to get the Israelites out of Egypt, and he told them, you're going to be resisted. Pharaoh is going to be hard. He's going to be difficult. He's going to be, you know, so rebellious and whatever else. He says, just stick with the program. Just trust me. And so, in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 3, we do know that God said he was taking them out of Egypt, right? Moses and Aaron said, they said, the God of the Hebrews had met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert in sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Is that true? Is that the truth? Did God tell them to just go 3 days journey? Is that what God was saying? Go 3 days journey and sacrifice. Maybe this is the first lie. But it was not a lie. You say, how can you say that is not a lie? It's a coded word. So coded what? Just like the 3 days that Jesus Christ had to be in the grave. Why did he have to be there for 3 days? Because one day was for the past. One day was for the present. And one day was for the future. So we're going on a 3-day journey that covers our past, our present, and our future. This is speaking in tongues, man. This is this is tongues that Pharaoh cannot understand. The guy who was making the statement knows what he's saying. We're going on a 3-day journey that covers our past, our present, and our future, and it's about sacrificing to the Lord. Speaking in codes. Don't go spilling the beans. Telling everything. Sometime you got to be covert. Hide the blessing in a coded way. Do you remember Samson? Oh, that's another story. And the parable that he gave, the riddle that he gave about the sweetness that came out of the place of death. Are we together? It was all code. May God bring to you and I his supernatural wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that we don't give away what God wants done. Why is that important? God spoke to the Magi that came from the east. And we're coming into the Christmas season, so this is a common story. You remember that? He spoke to them, led them by the star, and kept on leading them by the star. But when they started to lean onto their own understanding, they rejected the leading of God and said, if there's going to be a king that is born, it's got to be in the palace. So they went to Herod's palace. Do you remember the story? And they spilled the beans. And because they did, the innocent in Bethlehem were killed. Do you remember? When you spill the beans, you expose yourself to a death that is not necessary. Not all death is necessary. Herod wiped out little children, innocent. They didn't know and had nothing to do. But the one that God had marked escaped. Somebody say, the one God had marked escaped. Because God has marked you, you will escape. There is a separation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's just go a little bit deeper. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, the word of God says, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, Jehovah. And God spake to him and said, I am Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, when God makes the statement there, by my name Jehovah was I not known to them, it did not mean that Abraham never used the name Jehovah. But what it means is that the revelation of what that name is was not revealed into his spirit. And because now God was revealing that truth, he said, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. Once upon a time, they were strangers in that land, but this land now is not going to be a strange land to you because I am giving it to you. And I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. I have remembered my covenant. I made a covenant, and I remember it. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will read you out of their bondage. Oh. Say with me, Lord, bring me out from the burdens of this world and read me of the bondage of this world. Redeem me with your stretched out arm and with great judgments. Praise God. That's what God said. He said, and I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Praise the Lord. God saying, I'm going to make the same covenant with you. I'm going to make you my people. I'm going to be God in your life. And I'm going to bring you into the land. The land that I promise to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I'm going to bring you to that land and I'll give it to you for an heritage. It's going to be yours. I am Jehovah, the God who gives you something, and it's going to be yours because I'm going to make certain that nobody takes it from you. Praise the Lord. Say with me, the blessings of the Lord shall never be removed from my life. Only problems and things that will hinder me are removed from me henceforth and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 says, God just told them what was going to happen. And in verse 9 in the Bible says, and Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for the anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. In other words, they have experienced so much disappointment and so much pain, they could not let it go. But God had to kill that thing out of them. Let every mindset that holds you and I, the body of Christ, from stepping into the promises of God, be destroyed by the presence of the Word of God. Amen? The reason the church is where it is today is because we are still holding on to some lies. We still have plan B and plan C and plan D and plan E and F all the way to Z. Maybe all the way to Y. Let's put it that way. So why didn't you go all the way to Z? Because He is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen? He doesn't change. He's constant. Amen? But we have all these other plans. And every other plan will fail. Now God tells them, as He sent them out there, He said, listen, Pharaoh is not going to listen to you. That's the other problem. But stick with the program. Keep on doing what I call you to do. Now, first thing that you need to grasp, and there are many firsts, this is another first, is that you need to recognize who you are in Christ Jesus and what God says about you to Himself, to others about you, and to you about you. You got to have that settled. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1, because until you have root in yourself, you don't have a fighting chance. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. Huh? God says, Moses, I'm making you a God to Pharaoh. In other words, when I knight you and make you a God, your voice is going to be obeyed. No matter what the enemy tries to do, no matter how hard he tries to resist, you, like God, will overcome. And I've made Aaron, thy brother, to be your prophet. So you can be God, Aaron is going to be a prophet. He's going to be your wingman. God always gives you a wingman. Do you know who your wingman is? The one that's supposed to be right there. And sometimes you just keep your mouth shut. You know, when I go into very important meetings, I learned this decades ago, is that I don't just watch out for who is speaking. Because sometimes the person that is speaking is not the boss man. Sometimes it's the one that is silent over there that looks distracted. He's the one that is pulling the strings. And if you try to deal with the wingman and the one that is talking, you miss out on the one that really is in charge. The word of God says, bind the strong man, then you can spoil his house. Is that what the word of God says? Bind the strong man. Locate your enemy. Locate whatever it is that is in the way. And be ready to see it cut off. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. Know your position. Say what you got to say. Let Aaron capture the vision. Let Aaron say what he got to say. That he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. Excuse me, Lord, what are you talking about? You giving me your word. You say I'm God. My brother is my prophet. And we're going to speak to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is not going to do what we are saying. Yeah. I have my reasons. What could your reason be? Because I am going to humiliate all the gods of Egypt. Every single one of them. Every strong man I'm going to cut down. One after the other. When you pray, and you know you've prayed in the will of God, the desire of your heart is the desire you know is of God, and it seems like nothing is working, take heart. God is in it. Because God has a bigger fish to fry than your little mini fish that's meant for a hook. You want to eat? I got something bigger. Not this stuff. And I'm going for the bigger stuff. God has something greater on his mind for you. Oh, I have done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that and nothing seems to be working. Take heart. God has something bigger on his mind for you. So in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Nothing seems to be working. And then God starts out. And the first thing he did, I want you to see this. This is so important. You remember Moses was out there in the wilderness and God told him to throw his rod down and it became a serpent. Remember that? Okay. When Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh, to his palace, whose rod was thrown down? The rod of Moses? Or the rod of Aaron? You want to find out? Because I want you to see how God works. Because the anointing that is on your life as the lead man goes on to those that are serving with you. The anointing on me is spread and touches those that are leading in worship, those that are praying, those that are doing anything in this ministry. Hello? The same anointing. Because God takes the spirit that is on Moses and he gives it to others. If you want God to work in you in an extraordinary way, you stay connected. Now, this is what happens. Because many times we lose it. So many times we disconnect. The Bible says, in Exodus 7 and verse 9 through 13, I'm going to read it as quickly as I can. It says, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. What did God say to Moses? You're going to be God. Aaron is going to be your prophet. So Aaron throws his thing. It becomes a serpent. Pharaoh says, is that all? And he says to his magicians, these guys are playing games. As for something that was really, really great, the snake stuff. We know this trick. And they threw theirs. And all of a sudden, Aaron's serpent takes a new nature. It becomes Pac-Man. And chows down on all the serpents. Takes them all in. And after doing that, it becomes a rod again. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And he refused to let the people go. Okay. Verse 15. God is going to start the plagues. The word of God says, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. He says, I want you to do something with that rod. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wilt not hear. But this is what's going to happen now, Pharaoh. I'm going to smite these waters, and they're going to become blood. So, Moses strikes the water. It becomes blood. And the fish starts to die. The river stinks. And the people loathed drinking the water of the river. But what happens? While Moses is striking the water before Pharaoh, he says to Aaron, stretch your rod. Oh, over the land in every circumference. Their well water, the water that they have in their pots, the water they have in their fridge, whatever water there is in the land, it's all going to turn to blood now. Who is doing that? Aaron's rod. What is Moses doing? He is reinforcing inside of Aaron. You've got capacity inside of you. You've got capacity inside of you. Just like God is using me, I want you to know that God is going to use you. Aaron is going to misplace that later. When Moses is out going to get the commandments, he is going to listen to the voice of the people. And he's going to ask them to make a calf. Are you with me? He disconnected. As God does what God is going to do in us and has done in us already, you must be cognizant of this, that God is using you not just based on you, but based on his covenant with one that he has chosen to bring about the fulfillment of the promise. You are going to move in dimensions of power that's indescribable. But don't let it come to your head to make you think, it's me, it's me. No, it's not you. It's not you. When you start thinking, it's me, you got yourself already set up for failure. Aaron stretches his rod, and the waters all over the land are polluted. And yet, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Then in chapter 8, the Bible says, God says to Moses, grab a hold of the dust. I'm going to strike this place with lice. In fact, let me back up a moment. Before the lice, it was the frogs. Frogs everywhere. And yet again, the heart of Pharaoh is hardened. But in this verse 3, every time the children of Israel do something, this is the foolishness of the devil. Whether it be the serpent, the pollution of blood on the waters, and now frogs, the magicians went and did their little thing, and they got the same results, and it hardened the heart of Pharaoh. We can do it too. You can do it. We can do it. And then comes the lice. Takes the dust, he spreads it up, and there's lice everywhere, on the animals, on the people, everywhere there's lice. God was dealing with another God, and this time the magicians tried, but they could not produce it, and so they said, oops, I think this is beyond us now. we cannot reproduce. Verse 18, and imagining this so with their enchantment to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the what? The finger of God. The competition, as far as the magicians, the scientists, had come to an end. They could not compete. And you know what? We, as the Church of the Living God, we may think that we are little and inconsequential, but we must let that thought die. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, know ye not that ye are what? Gods. He said it. And don't be afraid to assimilate that truth in your person. Because you are going to be challenged this way, that way. But there's going to come a time when the enemy is going to try to compete and he's going to find out, oops, we can't. That we there's no way we can compete at this level. This is the finger of God, and we cannot make this happen. I'm going to spend time on these different plagues at another time. I don't want to spend time with it because I want to get somewhere in the next few minutes. So we had the lice. The magicians could not do it. Then there were the flies. And when it came to the time of the flies, now all of this first plagues, all of them, someone say all of them, the blood, that affected the Hebrews. Interesting. The frogs, that affected the Hebrews. But when it came to the level of the flies, because this is the spirit of Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, God says, I'm going to make a difference from here, from this point on. From this point on, no flies in Goshen. God is going to make a demarcation, and he's going to say that whatever is happening to the rest of the world is not going to happen to you as a believer. Amen. God has been leading towards that end. And I believe that COVID was something that affected everybody. God gave us a key to use. That no virus is empowered to multiply. My body is not conducive for the multiplication of any viruses. Remember that word? It is not to say that we will not come in contact with it, but my body is not going to be conducive. In other words, my body is not going to continue to multiply this virus until it kills me. Praise God. And God kept his word. But I tell you, child of God, there is another that will come. And God is going to draw a line. Did you hear what I said? God is going to draw a clear line. And he's going to say, not on my marked ones. Praise the Lord. And the word of God tells us that the angel of the Lord in the book of Revelation marked the saints. Marked every saint and says, don't you touch them. Hallelujah. God is going to mark you. Are you hearing me? I said God is going to mark you, and not a thing that the enemy planned will ever operate around you 1,000 will fall on my left and 10,000 on my right, but it shall not come nigh me. Praise the Lord. God decided to make a demarcation. Let that demarcation start now in Jesus' mighty name. I say, let that demarcation start now in the mighty name of Jesus. Bible says in verse 20, Exodus 8 and verse 20, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereof they are. In other words, everywhere is going to be flies. The ground, you're going to be stepping on flies. Everything around you is going to be all flies. But I will put a division. Some say, I will put a division. In that day, hallelujah, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, where my people are dwelling, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the what? Earth. I'm not just the Lord in Egypt. I'm the Lord in all the earth. In essence, wherever my people are, I am declaring it Goshen. Amen. Say with me, thank you, Father. I am living in Goshen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am living in Goshen. Praise God. Do you receive that word? Glory be to God. I am living in Goshen because that's the place of separation. God is saying, I'm separating you. You're not like them. You will not be like them. You're not going to receive the punishment that they receive. You are in Goshen. What does Goshen mean? The word Goshen means drawing near. And what God is saying to us in this last of the last days is, I'm drawing near. I am coming. I am coming. And before I arrive, I'm going to separate you, my people, from them. Are you hearing? God is doing the separation. The Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. It wasn't just God hardening his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart in spite of all of this. And so God brought upon them boils. Boils all over their bodies. In chapter 9, verse 8 to 11, there's boils all over. And hear what the Lord says. Chapter 8, or chapter 9. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take to your handful of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and became boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast, and the magicians could not stand. First, they could not do. Now, they could not stand before Moses because of the boils. The magicians now have boils too, and they could not stand. So shall it be that the enemy of your success in God will not be able to stand before you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. The Lord again hardened their heart. They will not go. But in Israel, in Goshen, no boils. No boils there. While all of this happening, so I begin to wrap up for today, this morning. Exodus 9, verse 16 to 19. Word of God says, and in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up. God is talking to Pharaoh now. For to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. You see, holding on to them. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as had not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. There's going to be a hailstorm, and it's going to kill everything that's outside there. And so it was. But the Bible says certain people did not believe that what was going to happen here. No such thing around here. We've not experienced that kind of thing before. And they went out to the field, and they and their flock died. The wise ones took their flock and hid themselves inside houses, and they were saved for that moment. But hail, not in Israel. Not in Goshen. No, because God had made a separation. Those that were under the power of the Lord of the flies, Beelzebub, they, from that point on, are going to experience disaster. But my people who are called by my name are going to be protected. Hallelujah. Get ready for the separation that God has been speaking about. It is going to be obvious. I'm separating these people from those people. Those that belong to me, if there is any sickness, any disease operating in their body, I'm the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. There is going to be a demarcation. Someone say, I am separated unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Exodus 9, verse 22 to 25. And the Lord said unto him, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb in the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod. Hallelujah. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail. Oh, but this is how serious. There was hail and fire mingled with hail. As the hail was hitting the ground, sparks. There's fire. So there's fire burning. There's hail coming. Two contradictory stuff. Is it climate warming or climate cooling?
What are we going to say? What's going on? We're confused. It's hot. It's cold. Make up your mind. And God says, I'm making up my mind. More hail. Let's see what you're going to do. I'm going to knock all of your demons down. Except a strong man be bound, you cannot spoil his house. I'm going to mess up the economy. Are you somebody listening? The economy is going to be so messed up. But, oh, shakalabos. What God said many years ago, that even your business or your company or wherever it is that you work might be closed in the natural, but you still go to work and you still make money because God will take you to another dimension. Huh? The economy of the world is going to face the greatest collapse, but it is not going to affect the people of God. Everything will be better and better yet. Hallelujah. That does not make any sense in the natural because we only think in the natural. That natural mindset, God will die. So you start thinking supernatural. Like that God who took me shopping in what was then called Garden City Mall, that is changed now. And when he took me there to shop, I went to shop for a white suit. Long story, I didn't have any money, but he took me to the most expensive store in the mall at that time, and I got this white suit that was supposed to be about $300 on sale. Got dressed up. That was on Saturday. On Sunday, I got dressed up with it. Preached and started catwalking and showing off my nice suit. And as the people, do you love this suit? Well, Andre, Elder Andre was there. I said, yes, we love it. Where did you get it? I told them the miracle. Where did you get it? I said, I was born at night, but not last night. When I go back on Monday, I'll get some more sales from there. Then I'll tell you guys. So I went there on Monday. To my surprise, they told me I didn't buy the white suit there. That they don't sell white suits. And that they didn't do any sales. I said, but I wanted to tell them how much I paid for it. And I thought, these people, they're going to just grab a hold of me and throw me in some rubber room. I went home, looked in the closet, and there was hanging in the closet a white suit. I said, what this crazy guy is telling me I didn't buy a white suit from them? And I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, you didn't buy it from there? I said, what do you mean I didn't buy it from there? You are agreeing with them? He said, yeah, you didn't buy it from there. I said, so where did I get this? He said, didn't I tell you I was taking you shopping? I said, sure, you did. He said, I took you shopping. I said, but you took me shopping to that place. He said, no. I took you into another dimension. The suit was real. I wore it. Then one day my son, my oldest son, decided to wear it. He wore it. Went somewhere with it. I don't know where he went with the white suit. Came back. And one day I'm looking for the white suit. White suit, just as it came, was gone. And I remember the word of the Lord. He said, you people are going to go to work. But the work that they went to, when they stepped out of their house, does not exist in the natural realm. And you're going to be financed. Did you hear what I said? God is going to load you up and he pays good in the other dimension. Praise the Lord. Sounds crazy, but you're going to live it.
Hallelujah. You're going to leave it. I remember one time I was walking in my house, and it happened to me many times. And as I'm walking, you know how you're walking on an escalator and you come out the first step and you feel that you're still going and your body's here? Now and then I will feel that happen. I said, God, what is happening? He said to me, you just came from another dimension. I said, huh? I didn't even know it. It looked like here. I did business in that realm, but it was not here. You're about to experience God, this amazing God, in powerful ways. Get ready. Like T.D. Jakes says, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Things are about to happen. You receive this word, then shout hallelujah. Amen. I've been speaking to you for a long time. All for this purpose. God is about to show up and show off. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a weak church. It's empowered. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. The mindset of carnality, let's kill it. If you blow it, you mess up, repent. The price has been paid already. Jesus paid for the price for the past, present, and the future. Cleave unto the author and the finisher of your faith and live a new life. Something is changing for you, for me, and the Church of Jesus Christ in all the earth. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. But before we do so, go ahead. If there's anyone here today that wants to make a God connection, you want to say, God, I want you in my life. I need your touch. Just raise your hand. I'll certainly pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hallelujah. I see that hand. Praise God. I see that hand. Hallelujah. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I surrender my life to you, Lord. I give my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come in to my heart. Come in today. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in, Lord, to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Lord, have your way in our lives. Change us for your glory and your honor. We cleave to you, author and finisher of our faith. Transform us And as new creations, ambassadors of the kingdom of God, we receive our full supply from you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come, honor God with your giving, with your tithe and your offerings. This is the last Sunday of the month. And as the last Sunday of the month, it is the Sunday that we bring extra to give for missions. It is our mandate to preach the gospel all over the world by every means possible. But to reach the world, we have to sacrifice. The statement of Moses to Pharaoh is, we want to go out into the wilderness for 3 days, and we're going to sacrifice unto God. Your sacrificial giving is important. The way you know that you are giving sacrificially is when you look at your budget, your checkbook, your bank statement, and figure out where God is in your giving. Some of us spend more money at McDonald's or Burger King at the lowest level, or at some fancy restaurant, or at some movie house, or at some, you know, believers will buy a ticket, fly all the way from Winnipeg to Las Vegas to just go watch Celine Dion. Well, she's not doing that anymore. Or whatever big star. And they do not even complain for one moment that all that musician wants is my money. Well, you come to church, you complain. You have money to buy all kinds of other stuff, but you're not enough to give to God. Change that thinking. Give unto the Lord for souls. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to encourage you to come again. If you have not given for missions already, just come. Mark it on your envelopes, envelope missions. You know that we do this every last Sunday of the month anyway, so it should not be such a surprise. Amen. This evening, I am going to finish the introduction. You don't want to miss tonight, because I'm going to wrap up this introduction so that next Sunday I give you the real message, the core. You know, when you have, how many of you have seen coconut before? Coconut, okay. You see, coconut, it has a lot of stuff on the outside. We've been peeling the outside off. Tonight I'll peel the last part of the outside so that next Sunday you get your coconut. And the Sundays after that, you get the water inside the coconut. Amen? Is that a good illustration? Mama, is that a good illustration? Okay, good. So, Praise the Lord. Now it's time for communion. If you've done giving for missions. Oh, there's a missions video. Please show it. And while they're showing the missions video, have your communion elements available. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We do these mini crusades into different communities in that nation. And everyone, and we've been doing it for 3 years now. You can calculate each time it's well over 100 people that are saved and miracles of all sorts happening. And we penetrate in that nation, one community after the other, places that preachers will not normally go to because they're so remote. We have churches now in that land. Amen? Praise the Lord. From crusades that we've had, they just said, we're going to be under this ministry. And so thank God for his faithfulness. Praise God. Well, this is the body of the Lord. It is for our healing, our deliverance, our peace, total provision for every area of life. Today, as you take off this body, receive every miracle that you need for your life, for your family, for your finances, for your relationships. Whatever you need, may God provide richly now. In Jesus' mighty name, take and eat. This is a cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. As we take of this blood, may we receive supernatural transfusion. Supernatural transfusion in your blood. May God eradicate everything that does not belong in your body and infuse into you the blood of divinity, the blood of royalty. Be sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus. Take and drink. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I bless you in that name that is above every other name. May God favor you in every area of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give me a quick moment. Let me just say a quick hello to those that are on Zoom and those that are here for the first time. I'm going to come to you in just a moment. Just give me a quick moment. I'll come to you.